on January 19th, 2011. And for my intros, like I said last week, I'm going to continue to hand out the Recruiting Animal Awards that I didn't get to hand out in the Recruiting Animal Awards show 2 weeks ago. Anyway, the first up is Rebecca Sargent. Rebecca Sargent, her award is Most Successful Guest. Peggy McKee got Best Guest, but Rebecca's getting Most Successful Guest, and I'm going to tell you why. She did the show with me. She recruits recruiters, and some American recruiter who manages or owns a firm was in Italy on his vacation, and he's a regular listener. I don't know who it is, but he listened to her show in Italy. And when he got back here to North America, he gave her a call up. He said, Rebecca, you got to help me. I've got a firm in Washington, D.C., and I want you to manage my recruiters, because Rebecca doesn't just recruit recruiters, she also helps them manage their desks. Anyway, I asked her today, did that order ever come in? Because I'm not going to say anything about it if it didn't. And here's what she said to me. She said, Animal, it came in. I am doing it. I am coaching 7 recruiters and 2 partners in Washington, D.C. We have increased send-outs by 50% in the first 2 weeks of January. Congratulations, Rebecca. At least somebody is making money from this show. Now, the number 2 award for today, I got to tell you, I haven't finished writing it out because you'll find out in a minute. Anyway, the number 2 guest or number 2 award for today, I'm all confused, is Radical Recruit, at Radical Recruit, Jeff Webb. He invited me to speak, my first speaking opportunity at the Radical North Unconference here in Toronto. I really didn't know what to do, so I prepared a formal talk. I was going to do an animal show live with a big crowd. There was only one problem. He had 2 talks going on at the same time, one in one room and one in the other. First you meet in this one room, and then he announces who the speakers are, and people go to the one they want to speak to. So when he announced that I was speaking, everybody went to the other room. There was only 5 people there to listen to me. One was Rebecca Sargent, and it paid off. And the other was Resume Strategy. She had to sit and heckle me from the front row. 3 other people were there, I think. I asked every one of them after my talk to come on the show. I didn't even get a reply to my email. But you know what? I had a lot of fun. I didn't do my performance. I just kind of chatted. And actually, Jeff was over at the side. I was talking about social media, and he knew all the answers. I didn't give anybody any information, but I had fun. And you ought to go to his conference, his unconference, if he has one in a town near you. Now, the final award today is not I awarded it last week. It's Andy Gregory. I gave him the Best Interjections Award. But after I gave it, I looked up the word interjection in the dictionary, and I knew right away that wasn't the right title for him. That title belonged to Blake Cannon and nobody else. So I'm thinking, what should I give Andy? Maybe like best short comments, but it just doesn't sound too good. You can leave it with me, or you can give me your ideas during the rest of the show. Speaking of which, now I'll tell you what's going on with me. My guest, my advertised guest, Keith Halperin, is apparently not going to show up today. He said to me about an hour ago that I hadn't followed up with him recently, so he didn't schedule it in. I thought we confirmed it 3 weeks ago. But never fear, my friends, my old buddy, Jimmy Durbin, at SM Headhunter, has volunteered to call in. He's going to be calling on a cell phone from his car outside of a Starbucks. So we're going to see how that works on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Pleasant Jerry's got company today, so he didn't want to shout in the house. So he's here, but I just played a recording.
Oh, I'm here. That sounded
here,
all right.
You did, eh? Okay.
Yeah, not bad.
So,
that's pretty good.
But you know what? You know what? My guess. Let me see. Did I open up everybody yet? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is that you, Janice? Ma Barker?
I'm here.
You know what? I was talking to you last week. The guy came
on,
and I gave him a safe word. She's the only mother on. Well, you're a mother too, but her son is actually on the show with her. Okay, Maureen. So anyway. The guy comes on, and I said, look, I don't know you. I'm going to give you a safe word. And if you feel you're in trouble, say the safe word, and I'll start asking Janice. I'll start asking Janice your question. She's always got something to say. But you weren't there, and, man, we had a lot of trouble. He kept saying safe word, and I didn't have anywhere to go. Anyway.
Hey, I have my webinar rescheduled, so I don't abandon you again.
Okay, why don't you tell us? You don't have to worry about abandoning me, Janice, but why don't we give you a little plug? What is your webinar, and when is it?
Webinar is next Thursday at noon.
Can you talk louder?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Webinar is next, really. Webinar is next Thursday at noon. Everything you need to get hired.
What date?
Oh, man, you ask a lot. 27th.
And what time zone?
Eastern time, noon Eastern time. Careerboard.com. Go to www.careerboard.com under job seeker resources.
www.careerboard.com under job seeker. You know what? You got to have a separate URL just for your webinar. You know, Janice webinar, something like that, so you don't have to make them search once they go to the site. I'm giving you valuable advice. I'll just say that I have attended her webinar before. She's really good. I was interested the whole hour. I didn't fall asleep. Okay? Now let me ask, is Jimmy Durbin here? Is Jimmy Durbin here? Congratulations, Jimmy! Everybody say hi! Good.
Thanks
Jimmy
for coming.
Jimmy, when I was on recruiting.com back in the old days, Jimmy was one of the four. There was four of us who were the contributors, and he was one of the four. And I would say he was probably the best. He's a very smart guy. But remember the rules here, Jimmy. In fact, I wrote them to remind my guest who's not showing. He was concerned. I noticed that on recruitingblogs.com he was complaining that the discourse was not civil and it wasn't polite, and he, you know, would like the constructive discussion of differences, I think what he said. But we have a parliament here in Canada, and they shout at each other all the time, and that's our tradition. You yell at the people. I don't care. He said, look, he said, I'm not screaming at you. I'm just telling you my concern. You can scream. You can scream on this show, but you can't be boring. And I know Jimmy's not boring. Right, Jimmy?
No, I don't really like to scream, but I don't really like civil discourse either. So
okay, good.
Animal,
good.
Can I ask a question? Are you going to give Keith a second? Are you going to give Keith a second chance?
I don't think he wants one. I do give second chances. I don't think he wants one. Someone else I gave a second chance to told me never to mention it again, so I won't say anything about
that
it.
That is not true. That is not true.
Okay, Jimmy. What's your elevator speech?
You're mean.
Yes. Hello.
I live in Texas, and I love it. That's my elevator speech.
What? All
right.
You should.
I thought you were in Missouri.
You know what? The guy's on a cell phone. It's bad enough that no one can hear him. Can everyone shut up for a minute?
Everybody
so
can hear me.
No.
I can hear you.
You're going to get cut first, okay? So, start talking.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Hey, I do have a new metaphor for you, though, Animal. It'd be fun to kind of talk through.
Go ahead.
It's not about social media.
Go ahead.
I think that HR companies are like pretty girls and online dating sites. Let me explain that.
Not what they seem to be.
You know
no,
what?
No,
why
no,
don't
they
save
are.
That for later? And why don't we save that for later and let me, an experienced host, lead the show? Can you tell the people who you are, or do I have to do it? Come
I'll
on,
do it.
We're going
no, you do, Animal. You do, such a great job. Okay, I'll start up because we're different now. But I'm Jim Durbin, the social media headhunter with Animal. I've been doing this for 7 years now. 7 years, Animal. Can you believe that?
Yeah,
we
yeah.
Talk about this as, oh, it's this new stuff going on. It's social media. Now everybody pretends that they've been doing it all along.
Okay,
everywhere
let me take
go,
over. Let me take over. I'll guide you. You need guidance, and I'm desperate. I can't have another lousy show, okay? Your title on Twitter is at SM Headhunter. You call yourself, you used to be a salesperson for K-Force, yes or no?
Yeah, that's true.
A relationship manager, whatever they call it there, and then you became an SM headhunter. So you recruit social media professionals, yes or no?
That's only half of it.
Wow.
I started Durbin Media Group with my wife, and we're a marketing firm.
Yes.
We do corporate branding and social media consulting, and social media headhunters is the other half of that. If they don't have the staff on hand, and I'll go find them somebody who does it. So we've done a couple of those searches. And that's actually,
so how,
we have a
what
new
percentage, company. What percentage of your work is social media headhunting? Follow my lead.
10,
I'm warning 10, you.
10 to 15% of revenue a year.
That's all. Okay. Yeah, but how many searches do you do a year then for social media personnel?
About a half a dozen.
Oh, it's not that much, but listen, we'll try to talk about it anyway.
It's a part-time thing. You know, we looked at it, but the issue was is we're building a company. We're actually going to be adding. We've got social media talent and brainstorming, the two new branches. We're actually going to be doing staff augmentation. We're turning into a full staffing agency because there are no social media practitioners. There's a strategist who charges lots of money and drop a strategy on your desk, and then there are the interns who don't know anything. So we're gonna go after these companies and give them that 60 to 80K, 6 to 10 years of experience person to actually do the work, since nobody wants to do the work. That's why we moved.
You know what? I didn't understand what you said. I've got a friend on Twitter, at workway.com, Darren R. McClure. That's his other name. And he is a social media consultant. So are you not actually dealing with people like him? You don't put people in on contract anywhere, just permanent, and there's no people like that?
We were just doing permanent, but we're moving over to a contract basis. To find people, I don't know what Workway does. But
okay, you want to give us they're a staffing company, and he got their COO on the show last week. Now, do you want to give us any more information about that? I think we should just move on. Okay.
It'll be there later. Then people will see it. But
yeah,
it was just kind of our background.
Okay, fine. Fine. Now, this guy, I've got tons of questions that relate to Keith Halperin that I can't ask you. I'm just going to go. Well,
ask us the Keith Halperin questions.
Do you make
we'll
cold
give
calls
him a
in
shot.
Your business? Do you get make
funny.
Cold calls in your business now, Jimmy?
Well, yeah, I have to. I mean, I moved to a brand new state. I gotta find the 52 corporate headquarters and find out who I can talk to. If you don't cold call, you're never going to pull that off.
Have you moved? You're not in St. Louis anymore?
Yeah, I'm actually down in Plano right now.
Did
oh,
you move
Texas?
Because Texas does not have an income tax?
I moved because I
an
love
income?
Texas, but
the income tax
is pretty cool. I just saved about $12,000 in December, so I'm not going to complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of course, it costs a lot more than that to move. But
you know what? I'm not that interested. I just wanted a yes or no. The show's going downhill. Listen to me. It's going downhill. You answer my questions, not
what?
Jerry's, okay?
And you didn't
think
last week's show is going downhill? This is exciting.
Listen to me. Don't listen to her either. Okay, you make cold calls. I want to know about your cold call strategy. I'm going to start putting people on mute.
I roll up into LinkedIn in the library. I've built a list of over 50 companies, and I'm looking for specific titles. And then I track them up, and I pick up the phone. I try to call through the system to see if I can get a hold of them, just to listen to them, because a lot of times you can figure out. A lot of managers have gone to not actually answering their company mails, their company phones, so you got to get to their cell phones. So I usually call in and leave a message on their company line, and then I start digging through social media and figuring out where they're going to hang out. And then I go stalk them, say hello, and then I call them in after that. I start
what does that mean? I don't understand what you just said.
I start with a cold call just to see if they'll pick up the phone.
Yes.
A lot of managers, a lot of directors and people with the budget that we're looking for really appreciate that if it's good. They hate cold calls, but if it's good, they respect it. So
what does that mean if it's good?
That.
What does that mean if it's good?
Any salesman worth his salt will let someone make a pitch to them. And I make my pitch to them online. Plus, I don't know them from Adam, so I got to get information out of them. So if you do a good job on the cold call, they'll respect that. And they may not work with you, but your name's in front of them.
Okay,
you'll,
so
you'll
you
wait. Can I ask a question?
No.
Do you not give your name?
No.
Do you not? I have to ask. Do you not give your name when you call?
Oh, I always give my name.
And do you say who you are?
I'm branding myself when I do it. My script for my voicemail. And for the call, I want to make sure they know my name because I'm new. No one's heard of me before. And I want to make sure I tie them into other brands because I'm pushing a bunch of stuff online. They'll run into me. I mean, if they have any activity online, I want them to see me.
Can you answer my questions?
Okay.
I got
a question. Oh, wow.
I'm going to mute everybody. Just listen to me. I'm in trouble today.
God.
Do me a favor, will you?
Yes,
answer my questions. I want to know the sound. I'm putting everybody on mute. Jim, what's your area code?
Not me.
What's your area? Not you. What's your area code?
314.
314. I don't think you're
314.
And 482 is the next. Are those the next numbers?
Yeah.
Okay. Now listen, Jim. Give us your voicemail. I want to hear it. Okay.
I don't want to do that. I don't have the stuff in front of me.
I want to hear it. You called in. Don't screw me up now.
I don't have a basic one. I write it out for the individual because I know who they are before I call. So
okay, well,
like you, I'd say, hello, Michael. This is Jim Durbin. I'm with Brandstorming. I was calling because I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of our services regarding social media consulting. I know you're very busy, but I also know I have a very important thing to share with you. Hopefully, if you have a chance, you give me a call back. If not, maybe I'll run into you next time in town. I mean, that's pretty basic. Depends on who they are. If I know who they are, if I can find out a way to refer them. But first is I just want to put my name. And it's a lot slower, by the way, when you do it. You got to practice your voice. But I want to put my name. I want to hear the name of the company that I'm with and why I'm calling, because I'm going to keep calling and following up with them until they answer me.
I just have to tell everybody, you can't tell because he's on his cell phone, but Jim has a beautiful voice, and he sang actually a song for me. It's on video. If you go to recruitinganimal.com, click on About the Animal, scroll down the page, and you'll find him there singing to me. Okay, so you get on the phone, you do that.
Right. Well, I don't use the phone. Sometimes I use the computer and my microphone, and I use Vonage. To call in, I have a couple of different numbers, so I can actually call in from the computer with the microphone, so it sounds really, really good, and I can pick and choose where I'm coming from. So if I'm calling, when I call Dallas, I use more of my 214 numbers, so they don't think I'm from out of state. Plus, it comes across a lot better. It doesn't sound like a phone.
I don't understand this thing. Everybody's working nationally. Why are you so concerned about being state-oriented? I don't get it.
Well, because I'm building a business down here. I still work with I get call-ins from other states, but my stuff needs to be sold face-to-face, and it's long-term commitments that we're putting in. I mean, we're asking people to give us 6 to 12-month contracts, at nice salaries. They got to know you before they do that. They're not going to do that over the phone. The advantage is no one else is doing it, so it's something new to them.
Okay, so let me ask a question. Hold on, let me ask. You follow me. I'm begging you. If you get the guy on the phone, you said, then you look for him online and you find out where he hangs out. What does that mean? Can you give me an example?
Oh, sure. There's the Dallas-Fort Worth Interactive Marketers Association. There's recruiter networks. There's all types of business and networking events. There are conferences that people are going to.
So you want to find them physically. You're trying to find these people physically in the city. Is that right?
Yes, but not just the person. I'm interested in the company. So if I'm trying to find someone from, say, Intuit, I don't need to find just the guy I'm going to sell. I need to find anybody from Intuit that I can talk to, share the stuff, find out as much as I can, and get them to refer me. So the goal really is I have a targeted list of companies that I want to work with. And I'd go find anybody. I don't care if it's the guy who sells them printers or crackers or someone in HR. I want to talk to someone at that company, introduce myself, and if they like me, get them to refer me to the person who's going to.
I
want to
find out how that happens. So how do you first of all find out where to go?
Well, I mean, I went in through LinkedIn, and I also go to the library and pull out the manufacturer's register. So the 52 corporate, the top list I still use from Biz Journals, which is funny. Actually, I lead the Biz Journals the other day. But I built the list, just like recruiting. I build a list. These are the companies. And then I research them online. I keep folders and networks. You know, do they have a presence? Do they have people that are involved? What is their structure? I have enough people on LinkedIn. I can see everybody who's attached to LinkedIn. And then I just do a bunch of Boolean search. It's just like a regular search.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Please answer my question. Please answer. How do you find out where the people are so you can go and stalk them? I'm asking you. How many times do I have to ask?
They usually have a list of events. So you go and you can check out the basic events.
Okay.
30 to 40 different in St. Louis or in Dallas, you'll know.
Okay. Now listen to me, please. So then you go to the event. How do you find the person? What do you say to them? Why do I have to beg?
Well, I mean, you identify yourself first. You listen to them. You find out what they have an interest in, and you go up after the speech.
How do you find
you
them?
Look,
how do you locate them there? What do you do? Look at everybody's name tag? What's going on?
I'm
lost.
You know what they look like. You can pull it up from images on Google or Bing and know what someone looks like. You can identify who they are because you know who you're talking to. You can do it on your phone while you're walking around. Yeah, badges are nice, but it's a lot easier to know who you're looking for.
And then you approach somebody and you say, hey, buddy, wait a minute. My name's Jim Durbin. Is that how it works? What do you do?
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, I'm the social media headhunter. I see you work for so-and-so. I mean, that's pretty much you're the same way that you go up and talk to anybody, Animal.
No,
I mean,
don't say the same way. Tell me what you do, please.
Hi, I just want to say hello. I'm Jim Durbin. I've just moved to Dallas. I know that you worked for Intuit. If you have a chance, I like what you said, or you know, I noticed something that you read online, or nice suit. I mean, I'm not stalking them necessarily. It's not a hard close. I'm actually introducing myself and making friends, trying to figure out what Dallas is like and how to sell. So it's not like I'm honing in on one target and going, oh, I'm going to work with you. I want to meet as many people as possible.
And how
Here's
do you get
list.
The referral? You said you get a referral from this person.
Well, sure.
How
if
do you get the referral?
If I talk to somebody and we have mutual interest, whether it's the person I'm trying to get to do business with or someone at the company, we'll talk and we'll talk about how we can share information. And I'll say, hey, listen, actually, I'd love to work with your company. Do you know so-and-so? Would you, how would you feel about passing my name on to them? Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no, but, you know, it all depends on the way that you...
How do they say no?
They shy away like frightened lambs because they think that it's a weird thing. Each person's different. And this is just basic human-to-human contact here. There's nothing... If they don't want to do it or they don't know the person, you just kind of move on to something else. I mean, your goal isn't to make someone feel kidding.
Listen, you never answer. You're not answering my questions. I always thought you were a direct person. Do they say,
I
don't want to get involved?
No. No one ever says that. They usually say, well, you know, I don't really know the person or it's not how we do things, which is important information as well. You know,
doesn't bother you. You don't feel that, hey, you know, I've stepped over my boundary. I'm crowding this person, and he thinks I'm trash now or a nuisance.
I try to avoid drinking too much before I do that. I also don't try to. I'm not trying to hound the person and pull information out of them. I'm simply talking to them. I'm sharing them what I do. I think I have a great product. I think they should know it. So it's not. I don't make it weird. I tell them pretty straightforward why I'm there and what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
you
never know. This same person you're talking to can move to another company tomorrow, and if you've done a good job and not made them feel weird, they're going to refer you. I mean, I'm building up a brand-new network in a city I've never lived in, so it's very important that I be friendly and see if I can help them. I may be able to help them. A lot of times they're looking
for Jerry,
work,
got an opinion? Jerry, got an opinion?
Not even sure what we're talking about, dude. I'm just trying to fulfill my contractual obligation to be a participant in every single
Maureen,
show this
you have
year.
An opinion? Maureen, are you there? Okay, Jim, you know, I'm getting a lot of good feedback here, although I understand what you're doing. I'd like to know, if I didn't have to pull it out of you like a dentist, I'd like to know how to go to you're a guy who actually goes to meetings where he doesn't know anybody personally and drums up relationships. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to. I mean, that's
and how successful? No. You don't talk anymore. You just say yes and no. Okay. How successful has that been? Very successful, or so-so, or not successful?
Yes.
Yes, it has been successful. Now
he's just following the rules. Good work, Jim.
That's good work for me. That he doesn't have to go on a ramble.
It's been very successful.
Have you got through to any people for the kind of meetings you're trying to get?
Yeah.
Okay,
if a recruiter
wants to drum up business in his or her local area, can they use your model as a format to follow themselves?
I think the good ones already do. I mean, this is how you do business in San Francisco.
Not in San Francisco, are you?
Yeah, but there's plenty of recruiters out there. I mean, this is how you do basic sales. You can get on the phone and cold call as many people as possible, or you can make sure that you're cold calling and combine that with live on-site meeting people where they are. I mean, you got to know what your clients are doing. You got to be interested in their lives, their businesses, and their companies. Otherwise, when you sit down in front of them, you're just pitching a job and matching resumes. So this is more about gathering intelligence about the market, the company, the people. I mean, I was under the impression that all good recruiters do this.
No. In fact, I've opened up all the lines again. Does anybody have a comment on the way Jim works by opening, networking it on the phone and then at these live events? Any feedback?
Well, I mean, I mix that with the online stuff, too. I mean, it's a mixture that makes it work. I'm just trying to get the name out of time.
Pardon me, somebody had something to say?
Got a question.
Go ahead. Janice?
Yeah, walking up to somebody and saying, I'm a social media recruiter, does that ever freak anybody out? A passive?
they don't know what it means.
Yeah, but the word recruiter, I mean, does anybody ever say thanks but no thanks just from that? Is that the way? I'm new in Texas.
No,
because
I say headhunter, and most of the business I'm pitching is brandstorming. So I don't actually say the word social media headhunter most of the time.
I would think in Texas would be good because people are sympathetic and want to help people.
Okay, let me ask
true in St.
you.
Louis,
know,
I mean, it's true in every. I do this in every city I go to. Even when I travel, if I have time, I look for events to go to because you never know.
Smart.
Plus,
it's smart.
I got a big Twitter following, and it's really easy to meet lots of people. I was fortunate. I LinkedIn led to a lot of Twitter folks, which means that I have connections in every city pretty much. This recruiting stuff over the last 7 years, recruiting and social media, it gives me literally every city I know somebody. So it's not hard to figure out where to go and make introductions. And half the time they know who you are, which is a little creepier than, it is
okay,
creepy.
Okay, well, now you're telling a different story, Jim. We were talking before about going to an event where you don't know anybody and striking up a relationship. I'm sorry to beat this to death. I got one more question. When you're talking to these people, what are you actually talking about? Social media? Are they in social media? Are they marketing?
No, I'm trying to figure out what their business is. I'm not interested in figuring out whether or not they have a Facebook page. I want to know what their business is, how their business makes money, what problems they have.
Well, how do you ask? What questions do you ask? What questions do you ask?
Well, I ask them what they do, and then if I have any experience, I ask them, depending on what job they're in, I ask them about their industry, and if I don't, I start to ask them questions about what's the industry.
Tell me the questions. Do I have to beg you?
What do you do? What do you do? What's the hardest part of that? How did you get into this business? Hey, you're in marketing. Do you have problems with the IT department, or have you found they work really well with you? Do you find that that social media is helping you these days, or does it just seem more of a time waste? Do your executives do it? Any question that comes to mind, it's just how do people sell in Dallas? Where do you live? I mean, there's all types of things you can ask.
I love this guy.
I mean, I don't know anything about this place, and I want to learn more. The more I know. It's like looking for a semiconductor guy, a semiconductor. I don't know anything about placing them, but if I want to find out what a semiconductor developer does or whatever engineer does, I call up 15 of them and I ask them what they do. By the 15th one, I'm speaking their language. So here my goal is to figure out, hey, what are you doing? What problems do you have in your business? And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, how can I help solve those using social tools? So I'm sitting in front of the person with the budget and not just saying, hey, the Twitter page. I'm saying, we can knock down your cost $1 million over the next 4 months if you employ these tactics. So it's more, it's just basic business consulting.
Can you give us an example of how you would knock out cost to that level?
Sure. So if someone works for a customer service, they have a customer service department right now, they know that it costs $15, $16 a phone call to someone to call in. Every call averages $15, $16 of cost. So if they want to do a couple things, they want to save money for them to be impressive to their bosses. They need to cut down on the number of calls. They need to make the calls shorter. They need to improve the CSAT ratings of the calls, which is the satisfaction. And in general, they need to make sure that if someone has a problem, they don't explode and go all over online or on reporters. So, you know, a social media solution for them would be making sure you're tracking what's happening online, offering people both video and social media solutions and Facebook and Twitter contact. So you can, because it's cheaper to use offline stuff than it is. It's kind of like the pop-up windows. Now you move this over to Twitter and Facebook. So if we can cut down 2,000 calls over every week that you're using, and then we're improving your, you know, we're cutting down your actual call time by minute, or most important, we're sending out videos to solve the problem. You know, your top five calls in the customer service tend to be the same call, so if you can send out short videos through their phone or to the computer, you can cut down on those calls tremendously. You've shown them how to cut their cost using social media tools, and that's where those $1 million comes in. I mean, you have enough calls coming in at $16, the math adds up pretty quickly.
Okay.
Now, that's a lot easier said than done, but that's just an easy example of customer service. It's why Charter and Comcast and Time Warner and AT&T are doing it, because you're looking at a problem they have at an actual cost. You're saying, what is the social solution? You know, recruiting is easy, too. How much are you spending per placement? Well, how many placements have you done from social media? There's your numbers. But you have to figure out what their problems are. You know, is it too
much? What do you typically hear when you talk to them about their placements from social media?
They usually have a way too rosy view of it. They all
don't we all?
Yeah. Well, they're
you
not
don't.
Tracking the numbers enough. I think that they're still wasting a lot of time. The problem is the people who really like social media don't like recruiting. And I probably
that's a good point.
Less than the truth is, social media doesn't make you a good recruiter. If you're a good recruiter, social media makes you a great recruiter.
Right.
But it doesn't replace the basic stuff that we do. And a lot of these folks.
Telephone.
Do,
yep.
Yeah,
don't forget the telephone.
They're on the phone, but they're also not doing the basics. You know, they assume because the what they read on LinkedIn was true. They're not the perfect person. And it doesn't.
How does
work
it make
like
you a great recruiter? How does social media make a good recruiter a great recruiter?
Good question.
It makes you faster. It improves your funnel, and it gives you a
mm-hmm.
brand so that people are calling in. I mean, the whole goal is to get people in that funnel quicker. You can't improve.
Give me an example. I don't know what you're talking about. Tell me what.
Well,
explain
here's an example.
What you just
how many,
said.
How many Java developers are there in Denver?
Jerry?
Take a stab at it.
Jerry might know.
A couple thousand.
Yeah. Yeah. I found about 1,200 that you could find online. That was a couple of years ago. Now, when you think of Denver, you think tens of thousands is what most people answer. But they're not. There are people that on their resumes, but there may be 1,200 decent developers that a recruiter could place and make a fee on in a city as large as that. So in social media, your goal is to find those 1,200. So if you know who all 1,200 of those are, you're very fast in identifying who's available and who's not. It's just using the Internet as a database rather than using your own ATS. So if you can identify who those 1,200 people are, you know who's available. It's not that
how would you go about
what does that? What does that have to do with social media? LinkedIn is not social media.
Elijah, tell who they are. Elijah, figure out who got hired or fired, who's moving
to a new
place.
Give me an example. I don't get that. You know, first of all, LinkedIn is not social media. It's a resume database, right?
I call it social media because it's social network. It still works.
I agree.
It's interactive. It's interactive, though.
It's an online resume database. It's not,
you know,
but it's interactive.
It's not interactive.
Yes,
come on.
Animal, it really is.
It is too.
Are you calling email interactive now?
Absolutely.
Now, hold on. I'm going to ask Jim. You know more. You know what, Rayanne? You want to be a guest again? That's fine. I'm asking Jim a question
right now, okay?
You
didn't do your research on me before. Why would you do it now?
Right. Oh, you know what? You're getting awfully cranky. Didn't you call yourself a menopausal something or other before? Okay.
You're
Jim,
so easy to incite.
How is LinkedIn interactive?
Well, you're able to contact people who are already, if they're on LinkedIn, you can figure out by looking at their profile whether or not that they're active or non-active. The non-active suggests they're not looking for a job. If they're using it a lot, they're either looking for a job or they're open to it. Or,
what's an example of them using it a lot? Having their Twitter stream connected to their LinkedIn updates?
Yeah, because that's not the same, though, because it's their Twitter stream. So they might even remember that they did that. It has a lot more to do with LinkedIn answers and LinkedIn groups. What are the questions they're asking online, and who are they talking to, and what events are they going to? When you're tracking individuals on LinkedIn, their behavior online tells you a lot of what they're doing. It's not just LinkedIn. You have to set up a full search on these guys using RSS feeds, Google searches, Google alerts.
You know, you make it sound like there's a lot. I'll tell you something, Jim. I've never recruited a Java programmer, but if those 2,000 people, if every one of them is on LinkedIn, half their profiles are not filled out, and like 1% of them are answering questions and stuff like that on LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
You've restricted yourself to a tiny,
not
that's useful.
That's just one example, though. That tells you LinkedIn's just
they're
one
all
example.
The same,
LinkedIn
all the examples. Sorry, that's hot air. That's what you're saying right now, in my opinion, is hot air. But let me take a pause. Listen, social media, speaking of which, social media is great, isn't it? But believe it or not, the odd time, you won't find the people you need on Facebook. You won't find the people you need on Twitter. No, you won't. You won't even find them on LinkedIn or Jigsaw or ZoomInfo. And you know what you need then?
They are online somewhere.
I'm doing an ad.
I can hear it coming.
You know what you need then? You don't need another website. You need a real person, and one person in particular. She's the Tiger Mom. Telephone sourcing. Her name is Maureen Sherub, and you can find her at namesourcer.com. She'll beat your search into shape. She'll beat it into shape. Namesourcer.com. Thank you, Jim.
Hang on. Is namesourcer.com working as a site? I don't know, because I use TechTrack.com.
Yes, it is. It goes to your stupid name site, TechTrack, okay?
Did you go to your... I like your website, Maureen, and I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
You pay $2, Maureen.
Thank
Jim.
You, Animal.
Yeah.
Jim,
that was
welcome.
A great
Jim.
Ad.
It was.
I love that.
Great. Jim, you still with me? Okay, so I've debunked everything you've said so far about, recruiting people on social media.
You said LinkedIn sucked. That's not the same.
I didn't say LinkedIn sucked. LinkedIn is what Jerry said. You go look at the profiles and you pick up the phone or send an email or something like that.
But I use that as a starting point. So I use LinkedIn and MySpace. I start with MySpace, actually, when I look at the tech guys.
Wow.
Because there's so many dead profiles on MySpace that give you the links and clues to where the rest of the people are. Plus, if you're looking for someone who was online and moved to something else, MySpace tells you what they were like 4 or 5 years ago, which is usually a good step. So
how can you go look at somebody's profile, though, if you're not connected with them on there? Because most are private, unless they're a rock and roll band.
Oh, no, you can X-ray MySpace pretty easily.
How?
You just use your Google and Boolean searches. I haven't had to do that in a while.
You can actually do that within MySpace?
Yeah.
See, backdoor MySpace like
you
do LinkedIn?
Yep.
Yeah, and now the thing is, it's back research. It's really great it depends on who you're looking for. I mean, MySpace is primarily young people, community college folks, small towns, and it's heavily minority, which is, that's just their active user base. But nobody else touches it. But there are lots of folks on MySpace that don't go elsewhere. So it depends on what you're looking for. Directors and levels and college folks aren't necessarily on there. But it's a good step if you're looking for someone in a strange town that you haven't found. And the goal here is to use the entire Internet. If a director is not on Facebook or if someone else is writing, you can guarantee that they're going to an event or there's a press release about them. And you'd be surprised how much information is out there, guys. I mean, I've done it to track everything from political candidates to ex-girlfriends, and you'd be shocked.
Okay, I have to ask
you
a question.
This
Animal,
guy's got a nice
don't
wife.
Don't interrupt me, please.
Hold it. It's time for Kathy's Corner.
Please,
let's not
please.
Pretend.
Kathy's Corner.
Kathy's Corner.
I missed last week, so I didn't interrupt last week. I'm looking for a top secret clearance CPA. Where would I find that?
I'd go look for some of the job boards that have the military guys at the top secret.
They don't advertise that they're top secret, or they can lose their job.
No. There are boards that are just for that. I would go find a group of people. Do you know any other top secret CPAs? I mean,
companies that are requiring
Hey, Margo. Go to startwire.com. Startwire.com
okay.
is a brand new site, and I think I saw some. They have like all different kinds of people, but they're just—it's a brand new site. Check it out.
Oh, awesome! Thank you, Margo. Thank you.
Jim, while you're advising her to do is get, she has to get an account to go to a job board, right? She can't just go in there and look at it.
And I won't go to a job board. I won't use those.
So I would go find companies that you know that require.
Wait, you work for Arbita and you're not going to a job board?
Hey, you know what? You know, guys, the guest is trying to speak. I like you guys to give your
opinion.
So let him get a word out edgewise, Rayanne.
Oh, Animal telling everybody let us get a word out edgewise, huh?
You are picking on me.
Go search top secret CPA in Indeed or Job Search Engine or something. And go make a list of 4 or 5 different companies that require a top secret clearance for CPAs. And then you go into LinkedIn or you go into your database
file
and you find CPAs who work there. And that's how I would start. And then I'd call them up and say, hey, we're looking for people who have this clearance. Obviously, they can't promote it themselves. If you know anybody, let me know. I mean, that's how I'd try to call into those places and find someone who's looking. Or say, hey, do you know any friends who might be in the same situation as you?
Done it. Oh, I've actually gotten a good rapport with an old retired colonel that I think Animal should have on his show. He's awesome.
Kathy, I'm talking. Is my mic not working? Okay.
No, but I haven't talked in so long.
That was a great Kathy's Corner. That was a great Kathy's Corner.
I want to ask Kathy, can you rate his answer to you on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being for sure you're going to find someone using his advice?
I would give him a good 8 because he's done a lot. He very quickly described a lot of the footwork that I've been doing, and I've been
a
little
bit
active.
Yeah, you've done it already. It hasn't got her what she needs. What should she do now? She's in a corner, Jim.
Find an easier search.
Okay.
I'm not an expert at clearance, so I can't tell her. I'd dig deeper. Eventually you'll find someone. It's not the greatest answer in the world, but... I mean,
I need to find 5.
Oh wow, you got to find 5. I would. Try some searches in
call
the specific
Kathleen
areas
Smith.
Too.
Call Kathleen Smith with ClearedJobs.net.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Jim, did you have anything else to add to that?
Not that would be helpful.
Or was that just an easy way out for you? Listen, you said before that when you're meeting
people... I'm not an all... I don't know everything. I can talk to you about marketing, technology, and
trust
recruiting.
Trust us, we know that. We can tell.
I haven't known a lot about invoicing.
What do you mean?
I know how invoices work inside companies, but I don't know anything about CPAs.
Well, but you said when you meet these people at the networking events, and you see, everybody here knows that when it comes to networking face to face,
networking events,
they're not whatever events you go. When you go to meet these people face to face, everybody knows that I've got some problems with that, and I don't know what to say. So you've given us some clues about your actual words. No one ever wants to say the actual things, but you said something else before. You said, I want to find out how these guys make money. How do you find out? I mean, what does that mean, and how do you find out?
So most companies and most people inside them don't really realize what their company does. Like if you ask a company that sells fish what they do, they say they sell fish. But the reality is their business is delivering fish, which is entirely different. They make money based on those deliveries. The selling is only a small part of it. If you're, if you're working for AT&T, you may think you sell phones or landlines, but the reality is you work in a division that has very specific goals, and those goals are, for example, customer service. Your goal is to reduce the number of calls and solve them as quickly as possible. you really don't have a lot to do with selling the phones themselves. So you have to figure out what that individual or what their manager or what that group is trying to do to advance. And so rather than try to improve companies, which I think is kind of foolish, that's their job, I try to figure out the manager with budget who's going to give me some of that budget. What is their next career step? How do I make their job easier? And that actually comes from recruiting. If you wonder how people get hired, it's putting a positive image in a manager's head that if they hire you, that their life's going to be easier. That's pretty much it. If you can make them think that their life is going to be easier if they hire you and tougher if they hire somebody else, they'll hire you. So when I go to a manager, my job is not just to sell them what I have. It's what can I do to take some stress off their back and make them look better to their bosses. To do that, I have to understand what their business really does, whether that's recruiting, marketing, or selling, technology, or giving them some hints about real estate, doesn't matter. My goal is to make their life easier, and that's the case. They'll give me the budget, and then my job is to actually, you know, do what I said I was going to do. That's how I approach things.
Okay, Jim, Jim, let me ask you a question. Do you ever market candidates or just do searches for people?
I don't market candidates.
You've never?
They can't build a job rec for that.
Okay.
In fact, that's why I do retain search now, because so many companies think they want social media, but they don't really have that in place. They don't have bonus. They don't have salary structure. And that is a huge waste of time. It's not a developed field yet. It's not like I have an SAP person that I know that they need.
Jim, you're a smart guy. You've been in recruiting in different roles, but you've never been a full-fledged recruiter, so you might not have the answer. Okay, well, it's January 19th. If someone was, new basic recruiting, but, they were just going to start up their business this week, and they want to make money for the rest of the year, how much money do you think they could earn?
How much experience do they have? None?
Oh, let's say 3 years.
Is this a full search desk they're working on?
Yeah. Hey, if you're eating a chocolate bar, don't do it on a phone!
Wow. Sounds like a garbage disposal.
One of those biodegradable bags that Sun Chips come in now.
Jimmy, if you yourself had to become a full-time recruiter this second week of January, how much money would you target for December 31st for your gross sales?
I personally want 150 to 200,000. I wouldn't do. You could do it.
Okay.
If I was working full time on recruiting, I could do that. Why would you? Why would you do recruiting if you didn't?
Okay. So what would you do? What I want to know is what would you do to achieve that goal? Since you're good at networking.
I did the same thing now, except for I'd spend 40 hours or 50 hours a week on it. I mean, you call
70 or 80.
Well, I don't work well that type of hour. I imagine I'd have to get the end of it, but it's you got to identify what niche you're in, and you got to make sure you're working in the same geographic area, and then just make sure that everybody calls you. I mean, you mix your branding and your recruiting together, and just make sure that you're always either on the phone or connecting with someone online or meeting them with in person.
Okay, now why do you say you have to be recruiting? Why do you say you have to be recruiting in the same area? You keep coming back to this issue about working locally.
I haven't done too much national recruiting, and I've done some of that. The problem I run into is if I'm finding a salesperson in Chicago followed by a marketing one in San Francisco by someone else in Atlanta, you lose all the people that you've called that give you referrals for new business.
Synergy.
Referrals for recruiting. Oh, it's terrible when you're working on your own because you're building a national database and it's long term, but it's just hard to move people these days because of the jobs and everything else. And I just like to fit into it. If I'm going to make money, I'm going to fit into a niche that I know I can place, and that means finding somebody in the same metroplex rather than trying to do it bigger and larger and go national. It's just hard to move people.
Did you hear that, Maureen?
I heard it.
All right.
I'm not saying it can't. I'm just saying that's me. I'd rather make a bunch of placements at 80,000 than toil at 120 and 150 and have to deal with all the moving stuff that's out there right
crazy.
Now. I think the market's so bad.
You're here.
It's hard to move someone.
Impossible. It's impossible.
Yep.
Well,
okay.
You can't.
I got to do another ad, but I've got another question for you after. Hold on. Just wait a second. Hey, everybody. Do you hate people who integrate Twitter with LinkedIn and Facebook? I know Jerry does. Carla Porter calls that combination social media trifecta. The social media trifecta, and she warns against it. Don't make yourself a nuisance. A nuisance, she says. I don't want to read about your big lunch on LinkedIn. I don't want to read about your laptop battery on LinkedIn. I don't care what you thought about the Sugar Bowl. She does concede, however, that some announcements deserve the trifecta treatment, and she tells you how to do it right. I learned something I didn't know by reading her blog at CarlaPorter.com. CarlaPorter.com.
Nice.
Well, send in your $2, Carla. That was good.
Golf clap.
But I'll give away Carla's secret. Does anybody know the secret?
Work?
No. Here's what you do. When you configure your LinkedIn account settings to connect with Twitter, you select share only tweets that create the hashtags #IN or #LI. So you only tweet, it filters them. You have to put in a special hashtag before it goes to LinkedIn. Now, she doesn't say anything about Facebook, but you can put some of your Twitter stream into LinkedIn very easily and leave all the rest out. Pretty neat. Go to CarlaPorter.com for more tricks like that.
But in general,
okay.
In general, can we all say, though, that we're sick of it?
Please, yeah, God,
yeah.
No. No.
We know you're sick of it.
God.
What about Jimmy? Jimmy,
the damn thing.
Jimmy, what do you think? Jimmy, what do you think about the trifecta?
I think it can be done. I think it's smart to try to brand yourself that way. I wish people would pay more attention to what they sent out and were more selective. Because the
But I've combined
it just
business.
It shows the sophistication.
You don't have to have
somebody that's going to work with.
Hey, you know what? The guest is talking. Maybe someone should shut up and listen to him, okay?
No. Wait a minute. Ryan hasn't been able to say anything through this.
She really
has. Say something.
Claire, you keep cutting me off everything I say.
Okay, hit girl. Go ahead. What do you have to say about that?
I use it for business, obviously, and I have created a fan page for my company. And that when I post on a status update on my company's fan page, it takes it out to my Twitter stream for my company, and that drops it in my status update on LinkedIn. So my status update on LinkedIn always have to do with my business.
Yeah,
it's
I think we're talking about personal tweets, Rayanne. Because most tweets are personal.
I think
viewable.
I was talking about the trifecta and how you can use it effectively for business.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I do hear you.
Yeah, we hear you.
Just my
Okay, Jimmy. All right, Jimmy, we're almost done. It's almost over.
Scrappy
now,
girl today.
Can we go back to that dating thing?
That's an
Listen, Jim, I want to just get this going. Because you're a general smart guy. You don't spend enough time in recruiting to be the greatest guest, but you're not bad, okay? So, listen.
Wow.
Can a niche recruiter do this? I was reading an article on The Economist, and it says GE, General Electric, divides its employees into three groups based on, you know, the promise they have. And you know, they're a national magazine or international, so they also talk about Unilever, Hindustan. Hindustan Unilever, they compile a list of people who show innate leadership qualities, and they call them listers right throughout their whole careers. So and they're always giving these their staff reviews and assessments, and so they grade them. They have grades inside their company of superstars and ordinary people and, I guess, lower-level people. And then they also try to get these three-dimensional pictures of the personalities of these top people. Jeff Immelt, the GE boss, he prides himself, it says, on his detailed knowledge of the 600 people at the top of his company, including their family circumstances and personal ambitions. And the Hindustan Unilever managers, they build detailed dossiers. I'm almost done on their listers. And finally, Novartis asks high flyers to, you know, do special things. I'm wondering if a niche recruiter should target that kind of model as well. If they can, you know, get 600 or 1,000 people and really know them in this kind of detail.
I think it's an amazing idea. In fact, that's the only way I know how to recruit. Is doing. I have those lists. I mark people up when I see them online. I have my little notes in my database of what they're like based on, you know, if they've improved, if they've done well, if I like their social media stuff. I do the same thing because how else would you – I mean, you run into so many people. If you don't have overload, you better take those notes fast. So a long time ago, I started taking those little notes and putting them in my database. I think it's the way to go.
So you grade the candidates? Do you have a formal grading system for the candidates, like A, B, and C?
I write everybody I find online based on their online prowess, probably the best way to describe it. You know, are they frequent? Are they less? Do they write well?
How would you rate Animal?
Okay, now, you do that during the show. I got to finish. I got one last thing. There's only 4 minutes left. Mike Raymer pointed us to an article in the Wall Street Journal on Twitter today, and the title was something like Recruiters Shun Job Boards. And the article amazed me because it's talking about a revolution in search. And you know what these guys are doing? They're moving from people who simply process resumes coming in to they're having them go and look on LinkedIn for people. That's like in corporate recruiting, that's like a revolution. It seems just incredible to me that they would think that's something special. Jimmy, am I like just underestimating the bulk of resumes they have to go through or the number of jobs they have to fill that I think it's nothing at all to go look for people on LinkedIn, but you know, maybe for these guys it's a massive search. Does it seem stupid to you?
I don't think it sounds stupid. I think maybe it's I think we give the internal guys sometimes too much credit because they do have a large number of resumes and a lot of different job openings, and they haven't had to do this before. You know, they're like we are. They have to go search for something. They don't actually go through their database. Who's got time to build a database out internally? They just don't. I mean, it changes over. They get so many. You know what would have really helped at this point, Animal? If we'd actually talked about that hot girl on an online dating site, that would have been the perfect metaphor to explain.
Go ahead. Tell me the online. Tell me about it right now before we go.
No, we have time for that now?
Online dating metaphor.
I didn't realize it was so important to you. I thought it was a joke.
It is. So when you get a woman in online dating, they put their picture out there. What happens is they get all these responses from men who read her profile, see her picture, and then take the time to craft a careful response because they're convinced that this girl is the one. If they just see how special he is, then of course they'll respond. The girl is absolutely flooded with all these responses,
yep.
Many of them very well done. The problem is that they get so used to it, they don't take the time to figure all these guys. So they don't care who just sent over some nonsense response or the carefully crafted one because they start thinking that they're hot stuff because all these people are sending them notes and they devalue what they see online. That's exactly what companies do. They have so many candidates who go to a job board, look at it and go, I'm perfect for that job. I fit it. And, in fact, they'll tell their friends that they applied to a job they're perfect for. And they can't wait to hear back because they wrote a cover letter or followed up. When the reality is that the corporate recruiter on the inside dismisses most of those people because of that overload of information. So, you know, there's a communication problem where the candidate or the guy in the online dating scenario really thinks they have something because they're fooling themselves on what they see online. And because there's so many of them, you have a kind of a reverse of a network effect. And this is why corporate recruiters have such problems identifying good candidates and don't want to be contacted by LinkedIn or referrals or others because they're overwhelmed. Because they've tricked
Animal, you're losing my audience right before my show here.
No, that's
Hot Tips Online. What could be better for your audience?
I just got to know something, Jimmy, and I will go to Jerry's show. What is it that the job hunter can do to be different than or to be noticed?
Be interested.
Good question.
Be interested. The same thing as dating. Be interesting. Be interested. Find out more about life than what you're doing. Find out what companies actually do to make money and go talk to other interesting people, and you'll never have problems finding jobs. It's when you
I don't understand that.
But you have problems.
I don't understand that.
I
you
love
mean through
that.
Referrals?
You love everything, Margo.
Thank you, Jimmy!
Ah! Is the coast clear? Is the coast clear?
Good God.
Brilliant. Who's on the bubble machine?
I don't know. It could be me. Look, I got to check out. This is Margo, but my scores are guest 10, animal 8.
Wow. Okay.
All right, Margo.
Bye, everybody. Got to run.
Bye.
Call me later this afternoon, Margo. I'd like to catch up.
Call me. I've got a send out for you.
Fantastic. I'm going to send you to Cabo. Okay. Rayanne, what are your scores if you're still here?
You know, he was not very nice to me today, and I was...
No, he wasn't. What should we do about that?
Women take everything personally. This
no,
isn't about...
Yeah, true.
Again, it's not about you or how you were
hey,
treated. It's the animal
sure?
show.
I think that I was purposefully picked out of the crowd and banged on a head with a hammer every time I opened my mouth. So...
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not ready to give my scores yet. I'm still, like,
okay.
mulling this over.
Licking
in my
wounds.
My
right.
Yeah, I'm hurt.
Okay,
I'm really hurting right here.
Maureen?
An 8 and 7, even though
okay.
he gave me a great ad.
It was
eight
a pretty good
seven.
Ad. And I didn't hear my ad.
I didn't hear it either.
Right.
Did you pay
so
2
outright?
Bucks, Maureen? I got to send him my 2 bucks.
Oh. Did you send him your money, Jerry, from last week?
Hello.
Maybe not.
I pay monthly. Okay. I'm not
gonna... I bet you're paid ahead, aren't you?
Right.
He trusts you to pay monthly. Well, now you have a beef with him then. Feed, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, since he didn't do my ad, I'll do an ad for Jason on recruiting blogs today at 2:00, which is in 58 minutes. We're having a chat regarding split placements.
Ooh.
That's when two recruiters work together with one client. Split
oh,
placements.
Thank you.
Is it
going to
be a keyboard chat
that.
Or an audio
Appreciate
chat?
It.
What was that?
Will it be a keyboard chat or an audio chat?
It will be a keyboard chat.
Is that
not,
still a core subject?
It's not a conference call.
Okay.
Okay.
Jerry.
Chat is, I think, standard slang, I thought, anyway, wasn't it?
Jerry.
It's not on Twitter. It's
hey,
on recruitingblogs.com.
God.
But,
is that still a sore subject?
Is what a sore subject?
Splits.
Oh, not for me.
Okay.
No, I did
Ooh,
get
Kathy
screwed
Madison
over by a recruiter. But
that's why I asked you. Did that ever
yeah.
get resolved?
No, it's that particular recruiter is a sore subject, but splits, no. I mean, it's part of how I take care of my customers.
Sure.
I love them. Matter
okay.
of fact, sending out...
That still hasn't been resolved?
That is correct. But
Kathy Manis has sent in her scores, Jerry, and they're punishing. You're going to like
oh.
this. The guest got 7 and Animal got 3.
Wow. Ooh.
I think she's upset because he wounded Rayanne. That according to her tweet.
I mean, I didn't hear that. I had to go. Rayanne, are you okay?
I don't know. I'm hurting.
How you doing, girl?
I'm hurting. It's bad.
Okay.
Not
it's
very nice.
Wounded.
I don't understand anything about being menopausal, so ladies,
oh,
help her out.
It's my apple. It subsides. How's that? It doesn't last forever.
Okay.
Yep.
Hang in there,
God.
Then. Hang in there, Rayanne.
You know what, Jerry? You better shut your trap.
Shut it.
Uh-oh.
I don't
Jerry,
even remember
it. I'd quit while you're ahead.
Who else do we have with the score here? Was that Travis?
Big T. I heard Big
Travis
T.
Travis is here.
I heard
Travis
you,
is here.
Travis. I heard you.
I'll give 7. To the guest.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give a 6 to Animal.
Okay.
Travis,
and,
you make me swoon.
Yeah.
Your voice makes me swoon.
Really?
That's a sexy voice guy, isn't it?
Uh-oh.
I have to just, nip this all in the bud, ladies.
You
got to
step away, Jerry. Step away.
You got a bunch
of
needy ladies.
I don't blame you a bit, Jerry. I don't blame you a bit.
This is a semi-professional discussion.
If you're going to nip it, you better find out where the butt is, okay, before you start nipping.
Now, Jerry.
I can guess.
Wasn't this the guest that was kind of pulled in at the last minute?
Yes.
Actually, you know, that yeah, them scores are appropriate, I guess, then, because he did a good job. And,
I think so.
Animal actually didn't do a bad job, considering that Well, I don't know the level of study he puts into the guests before the show, but he probably didn't have much time with this one, so I think it went pretty good.
I think he let it be known that he was flustered, and a professional needs to perform at any time flawlessly. That's why I'm going to give him.
Are you talking about the guest or Animal?
Animal. I'm going to give Animal a 6, and I'm going to give Jimmy Durbin an 8. I think he was a good guest, especially for, in a sense, doing Animal a favor.
But, you know, that advice he gave at the end, be interested to be interesting, that is really profound.
Yes.
Advice.
No, I don't know how profound it is. What do you mean?
Sure it is.
It is.
Be interested in yourself.
It's the secret to
be interested.
Yes. Care.
Yeah.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think it's profound advice.
I guess maybe since that's such common sense for me that I hardly find a revelation.
You're on a whole different plane, Jerry.
I kind of am.
You are.
There's a lot of pressure knowing what I know.
Of course, it's a flat Indiana plane.
I think, can I ratchet up my score for Durbin? I want to give him a 9.
No, your scores have been noted. Nope.
Okay, are we allowed to give 10s now? See, I shy away from that because I got beat so bad on
Yeah,
this.
Well, only because you abused it, Maureen.
Well, are we allowed to do it now? I learned my
lesson. Yes.
Okay.
It's a new year.
Rayanne, we need your scores, though, please.
Okay, Jim was great. I have never heard him speak before, and his name is all over the place because he is a pioneer of social recruiting. So I'm going to give Jim a 9.
Okay.
And while I appreciate Animal wanting to give this giant in social recruiting as much respect as possible by cutting all of us off for a short time.
Though he's not actually in recruiting, though. I mean, we all gathered that, right?
Well, not any longer,
he only does a couple searches ever.
Well, I
think he has
influence over the industry,
recruiting.
Right? Yeah, and he has influence on the industry. So, I mean, whatever
he's
doing is...
But the point is, he muted his peanut gallery.
Yeah, he muted the peanut gallery, and that bothers me because part of what makes the show work is the fact that we are allowed to interject and ask. And
he never does that. Has he ever done that collectively before?
I have never
done
that. And I think he's menopausal, not me.
What are you talking about? You guys were all there.
Animal.
No,
animal.
He muted us,
the whole
Gary.
Gallery.
He didn't mute you. He didn't
mute
you.
Oh, he muted you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Yeah, they were cut off, Jim.
He didn't talk to me about any of that before the show.
Mm-hmm. They were cut off.
He said it during the show.
Yeah, he said it during the show.
And you even said you're not going to mute me, so you did know.
Yeah, you direct tweeted. No, you didn't mute me.
I didn't realize that he actually did excuse me.
Mhm. Well, I heard you say your
quote.
Point. You
our contract prohibits
not
Animal.
Buying it.
Our
Jerry's
contract
not it
prohibits
at all.
Animal from cutting me off ever. I dare him. He wouldn't. That's
see,
exactly. He did say that. See, and so now we know that there is a contract, right? Because he's been fluffing around about the possibility of a contract. So we know there's a contract because Jerry actually said it. Now it's noted on social media. So
yeah, and I'm sure this is going to influence a lot of people.
What are we talking about?
Who knows?
That's why you get muted.
9.
What's your score for Animal?
Animal's getting
Don't take it out on him. Don't take it out.
5.
Okay.
Let that be a lesson to him.
Manister, what are your scores?
Before we move on, he made it very clear who he was picking on today. And there is no reason for that.
Okay. Do you guys know how busy Dave Manister is?
Incredibly busy, people.
Wait for ERE, Dave.
Awesome.
I love ERE.
Look forward to seeing you there. Jerry, you haven't been to ERE. I don't give me your faint praise.
No, I mean ERE, the website.
Ah.
Oh, different story.
And I do love it.
That was right.
I can't love your social media presence.
One of the original.
Oh,
anyways, my rankings, I disagree with you, Jerry. If Animal is flustered, let's not pretend that he is a full-time professional radio broadcaster. He's a full-time professional recruiter. If he's flustered, he should just be flustered.
Okay.
And he was a little bit, and it showed, and that's fine. I give them both 8s.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Animal got an 8?
Yes, he did.
Good.
I think he just could have been a bit smoother. That's all I'm saying.
He could have been a bit smoother, but he's not, like, this is not a smooth ship.
Yeah, that's
the difference
him,
between smooth and slick.
Okay.
We don't want to go to slick.
No.
We like the bumps and the warts along the way.
Okay, what other scores do we not have noted?
Me.
Okay.
Well, Dave hasn't given Durbin's score.
Yeah,
he said
well,
both eights.
Okay, hit me with your scores.
8 for the guest. I missed part of the show because I had to take a call. 8 for the guest.
Don't take it out on the guest.
No, I think the guest did a great job. An animal, I find it really interesting that he repeatedly, if you go back through his shows, he always asks people to give examples of how they engage with other people. And I wonder if he's interviewing or learning. I think he has a hard time with that. And he's always going to, what do you say? I think it's because he doesn't know what to say when he talks to people. I give him I didn't hear the last half, Ryan, so I'll have to listen. I give him a 7.
Mm-hmm.
I give him a 7.
See, I disagree with Jerry about that. I'm interested in what people say. I know, Jerry, you get tired of hearing him ask that question, but I think that's one of the most interesting things on the show.
I agree. And you know why Jerry isn't interested? Because Jerry thinks his method is perfect.
No,
so
I don't.
You want to hear
how
anybody else does
it. But it is only in that I know what I say changes nearly every single time I talk to somebody because I'm talking to them. I'm not wanting them to listen to me.
Well,
so,
isn't that what Jimmy said? I mean, isn't that what Jim Durbin said?
Yeah,
he said, I don't have a script.
No, Jim said, I can't do it right now. I don't have it in front of me.
No, that's not what he said. He said,
That is what he said. I don't have it in front of me. I can't do it right now.
I don't have a script. I don't make a script.
He said that he didn't have a script because he targets the people he's talking to and he kind of...
That's exactly right.
Jots down guidelines before he calls them, and he didn't have any of that prepared.
Okay, good stuff.
Yeah, but
go back
be
and
able
listen,
to be
Jerry. You obviously tuned out.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm doing other stuff while the show's going on. It's called commerce.
And you
Sorry,
have
folks.
A contract?
It's called income.
You have a contract? Seriously? Nice,
it
nice.
It does not specify what I can be doing, just that I will participate as per required in the call. That's all I'm going to say about it. Here are my scores. I liked Durbin. I'm going to give him a 9, and that's a few extra points simply because he volunteered to be a fill-in guest when Keith Halperin bailed.
Hey, I think there's some kind of conspiracy because wasn't somebody asking Animal yesterday about bailing guests?
I don't know, but Animal gets a 6. I think he was flustered, and he shouldn't. Now, I'm going to have to disagree with Dave a little bit on this. You still need to run a good show, regardless of your state of preparedness or lack thereof.
So you don't think it was a good show?
I think it was put together on the fly, and they did the best they could with it.
Hey, Jim
Animal
could
have done better. I think Durbin did a great job. That's why I gave him a 9.
His Twitter name is SM Headhunter. I would guess that he's still in recruiting, so you might want to take back what you said.
I'm not taking back what I said. He said
he's
that recruiting is not his main thing.
He said it was like 15% of his business.
Yeah.
He's still 15%.
Well, I don't want to get into my philosophy on part-time recruiting.
Oh, you better. Mm-mm.
Well, I mean, either you're in or you're out. But taking nothing from Jim, I mean, it sounds like he's staying busy and doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, not everybody has to be I'm 100% recruiter all the time. Dave Manister isn't a recruiter, but he's part of the community.
Right.
You know? So.
Animal just posted, thanks, SM Headhunter. It was nice to chat again. I don't know exactly what to ask you, and I had a bit of a hard time hearing. So. He's making excuses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Anybody else with scores? Anybody?
So maybe that was why he was frustrated, because he couldn't hear.
You know, I personally don't like to make excuses for myself.
It came off as menopause, though. So.
Okay, guys, well, I got to get ready for a 2 o'clock chat regarding split placements. And I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, but whatever's on anybody's mind. Recruitingblogs.com at 2 o'clock today. Chat.
See you there.
Okay, bye, everybody. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.